This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Nick, Barry, and Joel. Till 4, Usual Suspects. Thank goodness JJ has tweeted in that he's okay. It's only been like 3 months that we've had an APB and his picture on the back of milk cartons. But at least we know he's okay, because that was worrying me for a while.
Everyone can stop tweeting me videos of broken bones.
Yeah,
I don't
for
need
sure.
to see that. I don't want to watch it. It's gross. It's disgusting. No thank you. Lots of texts coming in about Paul George.
Which was another nasty one.
That was nasty.
Yeah. Now, look, the encouraging thing is, because Hayward's wife and his dad were out there tweeting, he's going to come back stronger and better. He's got the will. He's got the spirit. Paul George is the poster child for a disgustingly bad injury.
Because I thought his career was done.
I did, too. And he's playing again. So that's a good source of motivation right there.
This is a really good one that somebody tweeted in. Anderson Silva.
Yeah, you guys would be
that
no
one was
than
so
me.
Nasty. Ugh,
disgusting.
Gross.
Was that like on a kick?
Yeah. And that'll happen.
The guy who blocked
shin
the kick.
Shin to shin.
You know, he blocked it with his knee. Chris Weidman used his knee to make the block. He even mentioned it. And so it just wrapped around his leg. It was disgusting.
We got this. Sean from the Culture. I'm assuming that's Culture Map.
Okay.
I'm assuming. Anything I see with the word culture, I assume they're part of the family.
But said, I'm 35 years old, and as long as I can remember, the stigma of Houston has been to choke. Rockets created Clutch City for that reason. It was short-lived. Astros are young guns that thrive on emotion. When the bats are hot, when the bats are hitting, this team is miserable. I don't get that. Bullpen can only survive by putting up a significant amount of runs. So, yeah, when McCullers got pulled, my heart and emotions felt like Gordon Hayward did physically. I'm with you, but again, I think you guys have to remember that McCullers hadn't fully been back yet. The lease was short on him. He wasn't going to give you 120 pitches. 80, 85 at most. If he crept in at a 90, I was going to be surprised, no matter how good his outing was. He was just on a... He's still coming back from the injuries, and he wasn't fully back. I mean, his previous outings even showed you that. But now that he's got a game under his belt where he threw 80-plus pitches and he pitched well, I think he's back. He is definitely now in your rotation. There's no reason to think that. If this team goes to the World Series, Lance McCullers is getting Game 3 start.
And I said this when we started the show. My thing was...
But you needed this to figure it out.
Right.
Which is why I wanted it in Game 3. But,
you
got it in Game 4.
Him in the 7th. Because it was farther than he had gone in a long time. It was exceeding all your expectations. And you know that when he did go bad recently, the wheels came off in a hurry. So you let him go out there. Look, if he gets Judge out to start the 7th, Hinch might let him get all the way through the 7th. But because that was the first sign, it normally happens in succession very quickly after that, he made the move. But you're absolutely right. Because of the performance, there's no question in my mind, if they advance and they move forward, he is not only your 4, he quite possibly could be your 3, depending on the amount of rest that you have.
I think he is your number 3.
Because we know how dominant his curveball is. When his stuff is good, and we even said it going into that start, I said several times, look, the one thing you're not sure of is, how sharp is he going to be? How good is his stuff going to be? And how much endurance is he going to have in that arm? Because he hasn't thrown starters innings, for the most part, in quite a while. But look, that was so impressive. I don't think there's any doubt on anybody's mind, let alone A.J. Hinch's, that if you do go on to the next series, there's no doubt he's your 3. Or your 4.
We're getting more score predictions.
These are going to be just...
Astros 5, Hinch 7.
I take it you like
that's
that
pretty
one.
Good. That's actually pretty damn funny.
That was the fart noise laugh.
Mandy said, y'all are feisty today.
Yeah, not just today, every day.
Well, you know. Yeah. Barry, would you be mad if we started a Hug a Barry campaign and got shirts made and distributed?
I like that,
Nick,
don't you, Nick?
You could get in on this.
Big fan of that
idea. That's
you. No.
Yes.
Nope. Somebody just texted, I think we suck. I don't know if they were talking about our show as a listener, because we said that the listeners were included, or if they're talking about the Astros. I don't know.
We need to get, we'll do our own little Huggy Bear mascot on the shirt. We need, yes, the Barry hugging shirts and the campaign should actually, we started it with a sign at your show. We should just keep it going.
Yeah, we'll holler at Michelle, because Michelle, she knows all the vendors that customizes shirts. So we'll let promotions boss
Did you
Michelle
see
handle that?
Yes.
No. I'm.
Yes, I'm with you, Nick. Let's do that. Good idea.
We're moving on from this.
Good idea.
Somebody had texted about Charlotte McKinney and yes. sweatpants. So you saw a picture of her, right?
Did you see it, Nick?
I still haven't Googled it.
Well, Google her and see if you think you could survive in sweatpants around
Nick,
her.
When you say you need to get on top of these things, that's exactly the right terminology.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
Yeah,
indeed.
She's a 10 plus.
Yeah, she's not bad at all.
I don't see a flaw. There's no flaw.
She's not a slump buster for
maybe
you.
Maybe she's got.
No, she's a career buster. Ending Hall of Famer. Yes. That's what she is.
Maybe she's got like three nipples or webbed feet or something weird like that. I dated a chick that had webbed toes. Like
you got, what are you talking? So he's three nipples and you webbed feet.
Yeah, I dated a chick in high school.
I didn't date the chick with three nipples. Let's be clear.
Okay. Well,
I know of someone.
Yeah, sure. That'll keep you busy, though.
So, was she a swimmer?
Is that a doorbell? Or
no, that's the crazy thing. She didn't even swim. Which I was like, why aren't you on the swim team? You've got webbed feet
that's
like a duck.
Waste.
But it was weird because the stuff in between her toes, like I guess the skin or whatever, it was like all connected. Freaky.
The webbing?
Yeah. It was weird. I was like, yeah, how about you just leave your socks on? That's weird.
Is that enough to give you the...
Like, but I can't wear... She couldn't wear flip-flops.
Did she like her feet
appropriately?
Rubbed?
No, wasn't happening. But she couldn't wear, like, flip-flops, and she would wear sandals, but, you know what? I'm all right if you wear socks with sandals. That's creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Webbed feet.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Yep.
Unlike any other.
I know how to pick them.
Let's hope that... That's where they pick you.
Three nipples and webbed feet. That's
okay.
Nick, we're just trying to give you confidence that no matter what you end up with, it's going to be okay.
I'm sure you've dated some weird chicks.
Plus
Nick.
Size Latinas are normal. I bet Nick dated
some like hunchback chick or something like that. Which,
some chick with a twitch.
Just something. Just some weird thing. Like her shoulder. Like she's got an extra shoulder blade. And she looks like a dinosaur.
Randomly,
like with all the
like,
little humps on her back.
And slap Nick in the face.
Why do you have a fin like a shark? What is that?
All right, we'll continue to roll on with plenty more of the big show. Right now, I want to tell you about the great people at American Wheel and Tire. They've been in business for over 30 years. Nick, and I'm telling you, everybody that I talk to says, you got to go to American Wheel and Tire. Their ownership now is stayed in the family. It's Mike and Tammy Gus. They've had the shop for over 15 years. 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop. Or better yet, go to AmericanWheelandTire.com and see all the great ways that they can soup up your vehicle. From Kevlar wraps and coating to lift kits for your SUV or your truck to all the different things they can do with rims and tires. And maybe you're just in one of those situations where you've got a flat and everybody at one of those major stores are telling you that you got to replace the tire and maybe even replace the rim. Before you go to that trouble, make sure you check with American Wheel and Tire because in most cases they have stock rims and tires. They can actually replace them at a lower price with a better quality product if they have to go the replacement route. But in a lot of cases, they can repair it instead and save you a whole lot of cash. They're up front. They communicate with you. They got a very comfortable waiting room. And they're always going to be customer service focused. That's why they've been in business, doing it the way they've been doing it in Houston for a long time. Check them out, American Wheel and Tire, 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, or AmericanWheelandTire.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, there's nothing better than picking songs that Barry sings to, unless you have to be in the studio and listen to Barry sing to them. As we continue to roll on.
Real quick, can we give a happy birthday to Jong Lee?
The master?
Yes, sir. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jong.
With a zero, not an O. The master, Jong Lee.
That's right. We also missed Liebeschock's birthday, which was Friday the 13th.
Well, bring him some.
And there was another birthday that Esme sent out, and I don't know who it was, but we need to figure it out. Mike's was the 13th. Maybe that was it. Liebeschock the 13th and Jong Lee today. Right? Am I missing one?
Dude.
I don't know if I'm missing one. We got to make sure
we get all these birthdays, especially when the emails go out.
He just got engaged. Never mind.
Yeah. Michael Carroll got engaged.
Michael, congratulations on that, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, by the way.
Uh-huh, I do.
All the emails that go out, and they're only important people that get those emails sent out. So,
Don't be trying to get me angry.
Shock got his email.
Yeah.
Jong got his.
Yeah.
Get mine every year.
I got mine.
Barry, did you get yours?
Ooh.
No.
Kind of finished it off there, did you?
Time. I hate both of you.
At least there's time.
I want you guys to know that don't there's not enough year. Hate in this world for me to have for you right now.
They'll get you this year.
Boy. Lauren Pope, we were talking about weird things that of people that we've dated, like webbed feet, and Joel knows a girl with three nipples, and Nick dated a hunchback Latina. Lauren Pope tweets and says, I dated a guy with a weirdly tiny penis once. It didn't last long. And neither did the relationship.
Such just a fantastic tweet. Tweet of the day right there.
Wow. Yeah, apparently that's a thing. It's called it's 320. If you have kids in the car.
How she described it as weirdly tiny.
So yeah. Change the channel if you have kids in the car, because it's about to get weird. Or weirder.
Honey, is that your pinky finger? Or
I don't
naked?
Even know why we should have to say that. Like, if you've listened to the show at all, you should know not to get in the car and put our show on if you have kids in the car.
Or that's if just you're concerned about what your kids are going
to
do.
Or they should have headphones and they should be listening to the Disney Channel.
It's something else. But yeah, apparently, look it up. Micro penis is a thing. It's like, this is.
How long have you been living with it?
I'm 43.
Yeah.
It's an inch or an inch and a half or less.
Oh boy.
Is considered a micro penis.
So you can't say it's not how big it is, it's how you use it when it's that damn small.
Can't say that. That's just a belly button. That's just an Audi. That's all that is. But
hope there's a whole lot of motion in the ocean if that's the case.
What baffles me about that statistic is let's assume that it's an inch or smaller. That means there's a dude out there with like an inch and a half going, yeah, I'm normal. how is that the cutoff line? You know what I mean? Like anything an inch or smaller and it's a micro penis, but anything larger than an inch is normal. So there's a dude out there with an inch and a quarter going, I'm normal.
You know, a lot of guys call me tripod.
Yeah. Inch and a quarter. Look at this guy's tiny penis. He's only got an inch. I've got an inch and a quarter. What? That's like, the line. Like that's the definitive line between.
Because I know
the haves and the have nots.
Midgets are like below like 4 feet.
I don't think you're using the politically correct.
Well, there's classification.
Yeah, there's
below 4'2", you're the M word. Okay, mm-hmm. And then after that, you're a dwarf.
I thought it had to do with the size of their head. Is that not right? I thought
it had to do
with their head, how it's proportioned to their body.
The dwarf is just shorter. He has the same size head, hands, feet as a normal human being. But the M word, those people.
Now it's the M word.
M word.
Okay. All right.
Smaller heads. There's not only shorter, but they've got smaller fingers, small. You know what I mean? Smaller
right,
feet.
Right. Yeah. Smaller.
But are they hung like a buffalo?
What?
See, now we're going to get in trouble for sure.
Oh, we're definitely getting
a
letter.
How is that in trouble?
Joel just had to take it over the edge.
So 4 feet
Nick
eight is
and
the
I,
max.
Nick and his face. Nick and I were doing so good. And then Joel comes in here and just, yeah, you know, like.
After you had the worst hints in the world regarding Tracy McGrady.
I'm sitting
there
calling the damn word. It's like
going the wrong way like Hayward's foot. Yes. There I said it and I feel better about it.
Good. It wasn't like quite the delivery you wanted.
No. I wanted to say it so bad, but I was like, man, if he ever comes on the show. And it's a real possibility.
It is.
I should have just went with, what's his name? Forrest Whitaker. I should have just said that Gordon Hayward's foot looked like Forrest Whitaker's eye. That would have been a lot better, but I didn't.
No, you didn't.
All right.
All right. Tyler, once again, you've been waiting a while. He wants to talk about Ken Giles and starting pitching for your Houston Astros. What's up, Tyler?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Man, I just wanted to call in when I heard Giles' name, man, I cringed. I was at the game on Friday night. Ken Giles came in, and I finished my beer, went to go get another one, and knew it was going to be a long inning. Luckily, I mean, he did well, but he still did give up that home run. Man, all season long, dude, I was excited for him to come over in the trade. It's one of those things to where, you know, I'm a big baseball fan. I was familiar with him. But just because Velasquez has had his arm repaired like 3 or 4 times, you know, we actually won that trade, you know, barely, but we won. And Mark Appel is still, you know, in the minor leagues, you know, but, you know, we don't have another option. So Giles is, I guess, our guy. But I also wanted to see what you guys thought about, you know, of course, today is Keuchel. Tomorrow, Friday is going to be Verlander. If we go to a Game 7, you throwing out McCullers? Are you throwing out Morton? Or if we go to, you know, Game 1 of the World Series, are you going to pitch Keuchel on short rest, or are you going to throw out McCullers?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but if we go to the World Series.
Wait a minute.
I'm talking as a baseball fan community. I'm not talking about for per team.
You did it. Okay, there's no running from it. You just weed it.
I didn't do that for the Astros. I'm saying, if this situation arises in the World Series, isn't the World Series a set date so that they're going to have a space of time between the end of the championships, the Elite Championship Series and the World Series to
the
where...
The 24th is game one of the World Series.
So conceivably, you should be able to set your rotation.
Yeah, you should be. Keuchel should be able to pitch game one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So yeah,
okay, so
set
we go back to Keuchel, and I say we because these guys have cost me so much heartache for years. I'm 24 years old, man. So I was like a year old the last time we won a championship, and I don't even really remember it. You know, so it's one of those things to where they broke my heart so many times. And I'm a native Houstonian, so I've never seen anything worth winning besides the Dynamo. And like I said, worth winning. You know, but. I don't know if it's going to be much longer. I thought the Rockets were going to get me there, but I guess not. You know, so at least we have the Rockets to make it, you know, two series deep into the playoffs this year and lose the game. But, hey, man, appreciate y'all taking the call, man. Talk to y'all later.
Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate it, man.
Always appreciate the call, man. Yeah, so you have time to set it up, but you got to get there first. I'll say it again because I know it's hour number three and we have new listeners. I'm not sold on starting Keuchel today and Verlander on the 20th. I don't want to go into a game seven against Sabathia with
you got to get to
with
game
the
seven.
Likes. Yeah, but with the but that's fine. But you could coming. I would be fine if I would feel better coming down, coming back to Houston down 3-2 with Keuchel and Verlander on the mound. If Keuchel loses tonight, it's over. Because then what? You've got Verlander and what?
Well, I would think to his question, yeah, I think you probably start McCullers, but it's all hands on deck. You're going to see.
I'm not starting McCullers on 3 days rest after injury.
Oh, that's true. That's
no
true.
No way.
So who do?
So you're down to McHugh. You're down to Morton.
Peacock.
And you're down to Peacock. Against Sabathia in a game seven to go to the World Series, which is again why I say take one of those guys and start them tonight. Push back Keuchel and Verlander at home, where they just kicked ass and held the Yankees to two runs in Houston.
AJ just might start Ken Giles.
Oh, Lord. Man.
All right, JJ, we see you. We'll get to you. Don't worry about it. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Cartel style, ball stacked to the max now. $1 million smile, people wonder how. Drake day every day. Trips to my Tego Bay with more chips than Frito-Lay. Floss, jewels, and attire. Ain't nothing flyer, straight or illegal, but still the rule. Right now, I want to tell you guys about my good friends at the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. I'm telling you right now, I've been telling you for a long time now, this is the kind of program that makes sense because it's Houstonians giving to people in the Houston area, mainly kids who are trying to get a second chance at an education. It's a fantastic program because of you and your donations. Right now, because of Hurricane Harvey, I know that there's plenty of vehicles out there that you're just trying to get rid of. They're just taking up space on your property because they're washed out and you find no purpose for them. Well, I've got a purpose for them and a whole lot more. If you've got either a car from Harvey or you're talking about a truck, a motor vehicle of any kind, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a trailer, even if it's not running and you want to get rid of it, this is what you do. You call Houston Cans Cars for Kids, 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They come to you. They do the paperwork. They tow it away. You get a tax deduction. You mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card, and that's where the process really begins because your donation is turned into resources for kids trying to get an education. Therefore, the things that normally are distractions become things that are provided for them so they can focus on the books. I mean book money. I mean meals. I mean eyeglasses, bus fare, things like that. It's all provided by this great program. So if you can, please take the time to consider donating to the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. Again, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid. Back on the Usual Suspects for the final half hour of the big show. Way Back Wednesday has been a tribute to the Defiant Ones as we do Defiant Ones music pre-2000, that being music that had some association with either Dr. Dre, or Jimmy Iovine. If you want to throw the Dr. J. Julius Irving in there too, it's too late. Nick is in the third hour. Barry had the first hour. I had the middle in this case. You know what's funny? I mentioned that JJ had finally direct messaged me on Twitter to say that he was okay. And he said that he got a new job, but he also said that he had been listening every day. Well, if he had been listening every day, he'd have realized that we had his face on the back of a milk carton for almost 3 months and sent out several messages to make sure he was okay, and he had us worried beyond belief because we never heard from him. Now that we've heard from him, everything's supposed to be okay. So he's checking in.
Sweet.
JJ, what's up?
Hey guys, how are you?
What up, man?
I was worried about the show, man, because I got off of here for a while, and we're not talking about porn, but then you guys started on the 1.5 inches, so I'm glad that we're right back where we need to be. So I'm very pleased with that.
We live in the gutter, as you know.
I just want to be the guy that gets to go out with a girl after she's been dating a guy with 1.5.
Hey, that's a great point. Yeah, then you're feeling like, yeah.
Yeah, you are big man on campus.
There you go.
What do you think about this 3 inches, huh?
I just disappeared. I've been listening. I did change jobs. I was out of town for about almost 2 months with training and stuff like that, and I was off Twitter. But, yeah, I do listen.
So, what are you doing now, man? You big-timing us?
Well, no, I took a new job with an international tire company, and they put me in charge of, like, 4 states, Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona. So I'm in charge of them and running them, and, man, I've been gone a lot.
Good for you.
Do you handle their marketing?
I listen every day.
Do you get to handle their marketing budget?
Yes, marketing, sales. Distribution channels.
We've been looking for a good tire company for our lead sponsorship of The Usual Suspects. I think you should absolutely be sponsoring this show.
Well, I would more than be happy to sponsor the show.
Because, you know, we've got big wheels of trucking. We've got them all over the Southwest they're listening to. And by the way, another excuse blown out of the water. When you were traveling for business, if you had the app.
That's what he said. He listens on the app.
Okay. You could have taken us in every meeting.
Yeah.
Blast it loud, JJ.
I will.
I just
wanted to check in because you guys mentioned that. I appreciate that you brought me up, and I still love the show, and I do listen all the time.
Glad you're healthy.
Appreciate
man.
It, brother. Glad you're healthy, and hopefully that golf game didn't suffer too much.
I might call you in a couple of days. Let's see what the Astros can do and see if we can get out of this hitting slump and actually win the series. So that'll be fun to watch tonight. But you guys keep it rocking. I'll listen every day.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. JJ, right there. He's okay.
Tonight's score, us 8, Yankees 2. All right. You know what? You did that on purpose.
You think? Hey, how about this? Brian McTaggart on Twitter just put out there that AJ Hinch has hinted today that we'll see Peacock tonight.
Oh.
In Game 5 at some point.
Really?
Yes. So, how's that make you feel? I guess you just kind of
I think what it tells you is that Morton is your Game 7. That's your Game 7 plan, is Morton.
Now, according to the McTaggart article on MLB.com,
if that's
Hinch
true.
Said he's been looking for the right spot to utilize Peacock. Wouldn't that have been last night?
I mean,
if you're going to use him in relief anyway, and that's what it sounds like, he was already hell-bent on that's how he was going to use him. If that was the case, or he had his mind made up, he just wasn't letting anybody in on that, you would have think that you would have thought that he would have been ready to go and he would have used him last night.
I don't know what his innings were per outing out of the bullpen, but to me, Brad Peacock isn't a guy that you throw out there for 2/3 of an inning or an inning, because it would feel like you've just wasted that arm if he can go out there and get you more than 3 outs. To me, Brad Peacock is the guy that you bring out of the pen if a guy is starting to get in trouble, or you're like, let's say it's 4-4 in the fifth and McCullers is out there and kind of... It gets into a situation where maybe he gives a walk and a hit and it's first and third and one out and you've got a long ways to go. You can bring in Brad Peacock and give you 3 or 4 innings of solid baseball to get you to the back end of the bullpen that you're stuck with no matter what, but that you could trust a little bit more than the middle or the front end of that bullpen.
So here's what he said. Hinch said today the number one goal would be to get the lead, then sort out how to get the outs. And we saw that last night. If Keuchel wants to get all of them, that's great. If he needs help, we have a number of arms, including Peacock. And in regards to Peacock, he said, I think he's a great weapon. In hindsight, it's always easy to reflect back on that. When we were in the moment, in the hitters that we had matched up with our pitchers, we were comfortable with what we had. When it doesn't work, of course, you look at the alternatives and what could have been. But in baseball, we always assume the other move would have worked out 100%. We think it would have worked out. We just don't know. Certainly, Brad's a weapon, and he will be utilized today especially.
Okay.
So it sounds like first out of the pen should be the Peacock.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Let's see.
He did not mention anything about his wife in this article.
What?
I'm just telling you, man.
So in April, he came out and pitched an inning, an inning, an inning, and 2/3, 2-2-2-2-1, and 2/3 of an inning. So these are his outings out of the pen. Then 2 and then 4 four games in a row, or 3 games in a row, where he pitched an inning. So it's not like the guy was coming out and going 3 or 4 like Davinsky did to start the year. But he did pitch. But he did pitch two innings several times out of the pen early, and that's what makes more sense to me.
The game at Fenway was what, 2 1/3?
Yeah, he lasted 2 1/3 to start the game,
and I don't think that got anybody jazzed up about him coming out of the pen.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're looking at the last outing. Morton has given up 7 earned runs in a little over what, 3 innings. He went 3 2/3 and gave up 7, and then you had this outing where he gives up what? He gave up 2 earned in a couple of innings, or no, more than that, 3 earned and 2/3 or whatever. Not great.
No, he got, stretch of the imagination. He's getting hit. There's no doubt about it.
So, I don't know. There's, you look up and down, and if their guys aren't named Keuchel or Verlander, you're like, ugh, what do you got?
And we're sitting here again contemplating the pitching. But on the other side, it's just got to get better. I mean, in the break, I was telling you, Reddick is one, or he's hitless in 13 at-bats in the series with a walk. Springer's got one hit in 14 or 15 at-bats in the series.
There's no doubt. The guy that's got to pick it up is Springer. To me, that's the key. That he's the guy that makes this offense go. As he goes, so
he's
goes
the
rest of this
that
team.
Stirs the drink.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Altuve's always going to hit, so everyone else around him won't be hitting, but he will still continue to hit. Correa hasn't hit that well, but he's been clutch, except for last night. Mm-hmm. But he's been clutch for the most part. Gurriel picked him up and got the bases clearing double. But you need George Springer to start getting on base.
No doubt. And he's pressing. You can tell. You can see in his body language. You can tell when he makes an out and the tantrums that he throws when he gets, you know, down the first baseline. I mean, he's pressing. And if he just has to relax and be George, be the fun-loving guy in the dugout that keeps it loose, that's always, you know, like he's had too much caffeine. You know, that's the kind of Springer when he's at his best. That's when he comes out fired up. That's when he gets, you know, attacks every pitch that's even remotely close to where he likes it in the zone. You're not seeing that. You're seeing a guy that's tight because he's pressing, and I just wish he would relax a little bit. And it's tough because the stage doesn't get any bigger except for the World Series.
I feel like this is all my fault.
I like where you're going with this. Go ahead.
You know, when I came out after the division series and said, look how clutch these Astros hitters are. Look at Altuve and Springer and Correa and Bregman. They're putting up numbers. I compared them to Bagwell and Biggio and show how Bagwell and Biggio weren't clutch in the playoffs, and I jinxed it all. And it's my bad, and I owe the city of Houston an apology because I'm the one that made the bats go cold because I was out here tooting their horn about how great they were in the division series, and it's on me, guys. I apologize, and it's my fault.
Well, the good news is that this apology comes just in time because now hopefully you've cleared the slate, and they will come out like gangbusters today, right out of the gates, fresh and hot, knocking the ball around the yard, and they're going to get the win. Because someone said that we needed to get Reddick on the show today real quick just so that we could change his luck before he got into the game tonight.
That wouldn't hurt my feelings either.
Me either.
Man!
Regardless, let's hope the bats get going tonight because they need them. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. By the way, Jong's birthday, so all you guys should be calling, texting, tweeting, and wishing Jong a happy birthday. But it's Nick, Barry, and Joel, and we've got one more segment to go. We'll be back with a whole lot more. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Back to wrap it up on The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel. It's been a way back Wednesday. Tribute to the Defiant Ones. Jimmy Iovine. Dr. Dre. Great series that was on HBO. So we did songs that they had their hands all over.
Yeah, we had the whole us, we, y'all discussion. Now, Hefe had brought up a good point. Can we say us when referring to any of the U.S. teams? Yes.
You take the periods out and you go with it.
It's yes, because we are America.
We are America.
We are America.
Okay.
Yeah, Cali Boy said, what about World Class Wrecking Crew for Dr. Dre? That was actually the last song on my list. I had surgery on there, but... I only get 7, not 8, since I went first, so it didn't get played. But it was on the list, Cali Boy.
Well played, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. All right, so we've kicked it around a lot.
Uh-huh.
Gut feeling on what we're going to be talking about tomorrow.
Well, I predicted an Astros win, but
you
didn't.
You said Astros in 5, right?
Yeah, and that's definitely not happening.
I can't?
What? But I predicted the Astros would win yesterday, but I really didn't feel it.
So what do you feel today?
Dude, I'll be honest with you, and I usually am, I have no idea what to expect from this team right now.
I don't either.
I know that you'll probably get a good game from Dallas Keuchel, but you don't know who's going to be coming out of that bullpen. You don't know how they're going to be pitching. You don't know if this team is going to be able to put something together at the plate and keep the line moving and get some runs and, you know, put up 5, 6, 7 runs, which is probably what it's going to take to beat the Yankees on the road. This team right now, they've gone cold, it seems like. Other than guys named Keuchel and Verlander, it's all question marks. And Altuve, it's all question marks.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's baffling, but this is what happens. I mean, teams go cold, teams hit the skids, and you hope that they work out of that funk. And, I mean, again, you look at, we used Aaron Judge as an example earlier. I said he was, what, 2 for 21, and then he goes 3 for 6 in his last two games with 2 home runs. They can get out of it in a hurry. They need to hurry up and get out of it. If that makes sense. So I'll say this. I think that they win tonight just because Dallas Keuchel, if they don't, they're in trouble. If they don't win tonight, that means that this is probably going 7 games because Verlander will probably keep them in it enough to win at home. This is going 7 games, and I do not like their chances in game 7 without an ace on the hill.
Nick, what do you think?
I totally agree with Barry. I don't think it's tough to come. I don't think it's just going to be tough. I think they lose the series if they lose the game. I'm just going to go out right and say it. But if they do, more props to them. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Astros to win this game. But if they do lose this game, I see them losing the series. Everybody should panic.
Yeah.
As pleasantly surprised as I was with McCullers last night, I need to feel confidence in Dallas Keuchel. I like the fact that he's on regular rest. But I hate the fact that we are leaning on him so heavily because of the offense. That really bothers me because normally if you get even halfway decent Keuchel with the way this offense has knocked the ball around all year, you're in a good position. But I feel like tonight, not that he has to duplicate his game one effort, but I got to believe that he's got to keep this one run or less. Unless the offense really just busts down the doors. And that concerns me because he's not the power pitcher he was great his last outing, but I don't think you can expect that same kind of outing 2 games in a row.
Well, and the other thing to consider is that the guy across that he's facing in Tanaka, you don't know what you're going to get from him either. The one time that you faced him, you lit him up. You ran him out in an inning in a third or something like that. Then the next time out, he pitches at Jim as well. He just got outpitched by Keuchel, but he pitched his ass off in game one of this series,
too. And we said, which shocked us from the very beginning when the rotations were set, we said, this is a guy that is night and day. On the road, he's a disaster. At home, he's a different pitcher. So it's going to be real interesting to see if that home Tanaka comes out tonight. Because if it does, then it really magnifies everything even more. Because of the fact that if he's on his game, now you're really going to be cranking diamonds out of the old back door because you're going to be pressing. And yeah, I don't like
there's
that.
There's no doubt they're going to be pressing.
I don't like this team when they're pressing. I like them when they're relaxed and loosey-goosey and they're hitting, you know, and they all are, you know, screwing around because they feel good and they believe in themselves. I don't like the body language right now, but I hope Keuchel gets out from the get-go and sets the tone, and then maybe that will be what they need to relax them a little bit. They see Dallas get out there. They know we're okay. He's okay. So we just need to get in the box and take some healthy cuts.
I think you got to get 7 innings out of Keuchel, and George Springer needs to go 3 for 4.
3 hits from Springer.
That's what I'm, yeah.
I'll tell you this. It's unfortunate to say this, but yeah, I mean, because of the state of the pen, you got to hope you can get 7 from Keuchel. Yeah, that would be fantastic. But you got to get into the Yankees bullpen early, too, if you can.
Oh, why?
Just simply because that means
you don't want that.
No, yeah, you do. That means you've knocked Tanaka out.
Okay. Careful what you wish for.
Well, I mean, look, Robertson.
I mean, you get up 4-0 and got into the bullpen, and look what happened.
Robertson wasn't great yesterday. It's just that, you know, again, I also think that unlike the regular season, once they got down or once it got, the Yankees started to get close, the buttholes got tight again. They looked like just a totally different team, and that really, really bothers me. I hope the Astros win tonight. I want to believe in my gut they're going to win. But I don't want it to be a close game. I'd like to see them come out of the gates quick, fast, set the tone early, knock Tanaka out with a lot of runs, and be able to cruise back to Houston. But look, this is also why they played all season long to get that home field advantage, and hopefully they can take advantage of that, because you're right. If you burn Keuchel and Verlander and still somehow, some way end up in a game 7, it doesn't exactly set up well for you from a pitching standpoint. I totally agree with that. So it's going to be interesting to see. 4:08 first pitch. Any word on the weather? Because the warmer, the better for me, too. I don't like the way these guys are reacting on the weather front, too, because of the fact that, look, at least early on while the sun's still up, hopefully it's warm enough that they can put the weather out of it. Because I believe like you do. I believe that the weather has played at least some kind of a factor with this team, too, because they really haven't dealt with cold weather.
I feel like in game one, I don't know about game two, but definitely game one, it looked like it may have had something to do with it, but it certainly was on their mind. I mean, you know, they're not used to playing in New York, so.
On the other side of the equation, have you seen anything, or did you see any signs that led you to believe the Dodgers were just going to steamroll the Cubs?
Nothing's been out there. I mean, my goodness.
It's just been ugly.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the reigning world champs. This is a team that does have a lot of talent, but you think that the Astros have had hitting woes. The Cubs have had their share of hitting woes, too.
Yeah, they faced some really good pitching, too.
Yeah. And when you've got Yu Darvish feeling so good on the mound that he's dancing around in the box, screwing with pitchers and drawing walks and things, too. Look, the Dodgers are a hot team, and whoever faces them out of the American League is going to have their hands full because they've got good starting pitching, they've got a good bullpen, and they're loosey-goosey feeling good about themselves.
You think it's over tonight?
I really do.
Okay.
I really do. I've seen the numbers, too, that state that normally when faced with a 3-0 deficit, the numbers are pretty astronomical, that not only is the series over, but it's over in four. So we'll see what the Cubs bring to the table, but I fully expect the Dodgers to make quick work, whether it's tonight or the next game. And then they're just going to sit back and watch and wait in the American League. So for all that, again, I hope that the Astros can set the tone early tonight. I really do.
Yep. I don't know what else to say. We've already, I don't know, I feel like we beat it to death now. I did want to touch on this. Did you see the Barstool thing that they responded? You know, I read yesterday that Sam Ponder kind of came out and attacked him, and something that caught me off guard about that, we talked about the president of Barstool had responded to her, and when we went off the air, he had posted something to the effect of like, well, you know, she's back at it and she's mad, and you know, she's just mad because we're getting a show and no one likes her and they didn't want it. So he didn't really back off. What surprised me is that the CEO of Barstool came out, and it's a woman.
That was a female. Yes.
Erica Nardini.
Yes, I
and
noticed
she
that.
Came out with, you know, guns a-blazing and defending Barstool and what they do, and basically took it right to Sam and said, look, we know what we are, and we crack jokes, and we're not politically correct, and we're not for everybody, and that's fine, but we're going to push the boundaries. We're going to say things that you may object to, and we get all that, but that's why we got a show on ESPN, because we do those things, and we own it, and that's who we are. Good for you. I mean, good for Sam for holding her ground, and she took it to him and attacked him, but they didn't back down, which is, in this day and age of political correctness and social warriors and social justice, you got to kind of tip your hat to Barstool and say, good for you guys for not caving to any pressure that may have been put on you. I like Sam Ponder's tenacity. I like the way she went after him. But you got to admire Barstool for not backing down.
Is it over? Or is Christian and Sam going to rally for one more?
I don't know. I think it's over. When the female CEO shuts you down because you're saying that they hate women, it's kind of over.
I think also ESPN stepped in, too, at the end of that, too.
Probably said everyone chill out.
Well, and they issued a statement, too, that basically said, though we understand Sam's position, you know, going forward, hopefully everybody, you know, can get by this. So
they probably pulled them all aside and said, hey, listen, everyone chill the bleep out and stop it.
Yeah.
Stop putting our dirty laundry out there.
With the whole Jemele Hill thing and everything else that they've had going on. So they're hoping this all goes away quickly. One thing we hope is that you stay with us and don't go away quickly, because you guys were great again today, as usual suspects. We love it when you participate in the show. You guys were full participation today. We appreciate that. We'll be back again tomorrow to do the whole thing over again. So for Nick, for Barry, it's Joel. Have yourself a great night. Stay tuned next for The Blitz with Fred, Jong, and AJ. And we will see you tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5. Never forget, I'm that brother that keeps the...